It's time to nerd out. With your hosts, Wes, Ben, and Jeremy. This is Two Nerds and a Jock, an entertainment podcast. Movies, video games, comics. Are you not entertained?
Hey, Owen, what do you know?
What do you think?
That was awful. Let's do it again.
Okay.
From the top.
Let's see if you can do it. Let's see if you can do it.
Hey ho, Rupture Rises. Hey ho, Rupture Rises. Is that what it is?
No.
That's a different
song. I hate you. That's a song.
But I like it.
That's a sea shanty.
Is it? It's not Flogging Molly. It's.
I don't know.
Oh, no. It's definitely not Flogging Molly. You're right. Don't listen to me.
It's like a legit sea shanty. I don't know. There's probably 1,000 covers of it.
That's probably right.
Molly's probably one of them.
They probably didn't.
This is a terrible opening.
It's a horrible opening.
You've already lost all of your listeners.
They're gone.
All the listeners just tuned out.
Yep.
Not listening to this.
No one listens to this.
I don't blame them.
No.
Except for you special 30 that tune in every week. Thank you for that.
You guys rock. We love you.
Anyway, how are you guys doing?
Good. I'm here. I'm not Jeremy. I don't know if you wanted to address that.
What happened?
What? You're not? I mean, your hair color's a little different. You're wearing glasses, but...
Yeah, no. I saw him walking in, and I said, hey,
get the sound. You still sound nasally. You sound nerdy. I mean, I don't hear a difference.
A little bit of a know-it-all in there. Yeah, no.
I beat his ass in your driveway.
His shirt's awkwardly too tight. It's just weird. It's a bunch of weird things that are just...
I said, get out of here, Jeremy. It's me today.
And he scurried away.
Yeah.
With a limp.
He's still crying out there.
Yeah.
Is he one of your 30 listeners?
I hope not. Okay. That'd make me feel worse.
Jeremy, on one. If you're listening right now, I'm kidding.
I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. You know what I was thinking of? Because you and I quote American Dad to each other a lot.
Often.
I was just planning stuff for the shoot for this upcoming project this summer, and I was thinking about messing with him doing that. You know that episode where Roger and Stan get into a theater show? I'm going to act.
Aim for 100. Aim for like 140 of them. Like, break some records tonight.
140.
Yeah.
Do you want to beat that? You want to beat that Jonah Hill record?
How many is that?
I don't remember, but I know he beat Samuel
Jackson. Isn't it like 100? Oh, no, it's like 200 and something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jonah Hill. People believe it's Samuel Jackson. Jonah Hill holds the record for the most F-bombs in movies.
Nah. I'd try, but then it wouldn't be natural.
Wouldn't be natural.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Well, you're not.
Then it just becomes cringy.
Forced. Yeah.
Like Ben.
You're uninvited. Walk home.
Uninvited to what?
To be on the podcast. Pitter patter. Go away.
I'll f*** you up like I did Jeremy. You'll be crying out there with him. That'll be just me and Wes.
I didn't realize we invited a bully onto our podcast.
You didn't?
I invited a bully onto Two Nerds and a Jock. That's kind of sketchy. Mm-hmm.
Good thing there's not lockers around.
Because the jock is gone.
How about one nerd a jock?
Yeah.
One nerd a jock and a that's the new name of the podcast.
Like this all behind the scenes talk is just perfect listening material.
I love it.
Yeah. I was told there'd be games and shenanigans.
No games, but there is definitely plenty to freaking talk about. So Absolutely. Before we dive into it, anything like new with you? Anything going on?
Nope, just working. Just still working on the book and the final edit after we got it back from editing. So we're doing that. Most of the artwork for the book is done. So just got to get it onto the Amazon.
Nice.
And go from there.
What about you? How are things in the world of Ark?
Horrible.
Dude.
But I'll explain that later.
We talk of. I told him last time that we were here that like you like wheel and deal and do some like underhanded shady shit, and it's just he picks on groups of 11-year-olds because one of them will like mess with his shit, and then he like barters with the other 11-year-olds to take that 11-year-old out, and it's weird.
It's great. I mean, the player base of the game should really tell you you need to start playing other games, especially if you're getting angry with 11-year-olds.
They're not all 11.
Yeah, there's Steven told me about a story where he was like palling around with some dude until he realized what his age was. And he's like, oh, I should probably never play with this guy again.
I was like, oh, I feel weird now.
Yeah.
you should.
I've been having a good time on it, though. Yeah, catfished. So, for your listeners, for context, I suppose.
Well, we've discussed ARK many times.
Well, all I was going to explain is Ben and I have been on our own private server where it's just me, him, you've popped on once or twice, Wes, and a couple other people. But that's it. That's all who's on the server. We've been playing on that for like a year now. Mm-hmm. And then just this last couple of months, we decided to f*** around and get on a public PvP server. And yeah, it's been eye-opening to a whole new world.
Listeners that don't know what that means, PvP is player versus player, right?
Yes.
And PvE is player versus environment.
Yeah. And there's both in ARK. There's both servers. But we try to do a PvP one so we can actually fight people. The problem is all the people playing on a PvP server, like, that is all they do. Like, ARK is their full-time job.
Yep.
But mainly because a lot of them are 11 and 12-year-olds, right? Yeah. So they go to school, they come home, and they play ARK. So us, we have full-time jobs and responsibilities and whatnot at home. So we don't have quite as much. Don't get me wrong. I put a lot of time into ARK. But nowhere near as much time, so we can't keep up. So that's why I started kind of delving into a different style of PvP. I don't have the resources to go around raiding people and spending, you know, these guys were telling me the other day they raided an Alpha Tribes base and it took them 12 hours. We can't do that. That's completely unrealistic.
Even when I was in school, I didn't have time for that.
But I can tell you what I do have time for. Hitting people up, doing some shady deals behind the scenes. What do you want? I'll pay you this. Go over that kid's day for me. And it's working out.
Are you becoming splendid. A kingpin in ARK?
Yeah.
Well, my favorite thing is early on during him wheeling and dealing, he's like, well, you got to check out these one people's breeding cave. And we get there and we're running around. And all of a sudden, he's stealing dragon eggs. And I'm like, I feel that's a violation. He's like, no, it's okay. They're not supposed to be leaving them set to breed anyway. I'm like, you're just making an excuse. And then I then stole a couple eggs too, because when in Rome. But
I let
the game is literally a survival game. You do what you need to survive.
Yeah, that's but he friended them, and then we stole from them.
But that's what's how funny you survive. Is I told them what I did the next day, and they said the exact same thing. When I was with you and I was taking their eggs, and I'm like, well, they're not supposed to have passive breeding on when they're logged off anyway. It's against the server rules. And then sure enough, I let them know the next day. I was like, hey, just so you know, I was showing my buddy around your base, you know, because it's open. You can just kind of go in there. And I saw some. There were some wyvern eggs, and I kind of helped myself and stole like seven of them. And they're like, oh, no, it's cool. We're not supposed to have passive breeding on anyway. It's against the rules. Like, you probably kept us out of trouble. I was like, cool, thanks.
Wrong kind of gamers, right? It's when you fight.
No, dang it, we're besties.
But that was after they raided, right?
That was a different tribe. There's a different tribe that raided me and over my day, and then I was best friends with them by the end of the day, and now I'm using them to my advantage, and they're raiding other bases for me, and they gave me all my stuff back.
And I kind of have like a mini story real quick regarding what kind of game, like, what's the genre? It's open world.
ARK? Dinosaurs. Dinosaur genre.
What
am I thinking of? Like, well, ARK isn't like WoW, I guess. It's like World of Warcraft where it's, I don't know how to describe it. Anyway, you know what WoW is. So it's a Star Wars version of WoW. It came out way back when I was like a kid. And I played that. And speaking of people that befriend you and then can screw you over... I was new to the game, and when you're new to the game, they start you off on the desert planet that literally every one of those movies starts off on.
Of course.
So I befriend some people, and they're like, oh, yeah, you want some experience? We'll take you on our ship. We'll get you this planet. Like, we got to grab a few things, and then we'll, like, help you get, you know, XP. I'm like, cool. Hop on the ship with them. They drop me off, and they ditch me. And I can't get back to the started on. And I was like... And keep in mind, I was young too, like phenomenal. These 11-year-olds that like
phenomenal
with you. And I'm like, so my Star Wars adventure isn't panning out the way I hoped.
This is
it's nothing like the movies. Anyway, yeah. So that's when I started realizing I hate games like that.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than when you kind of like make friends with someone on a server like that, and then you just get punked. It just feels so. I had a tribe do something similar like that. I don't even remember exactly what it was, but they were like, hey, let's fight somewhere. And I was like, I'm just getting started. Like, I don't even have anything. Was it the
spear thing or something?
Yeah. I was like, let's have a pike fight. And I was like, just pike on pike. You know, a pike is like a metal spear in the game. And they're like, okay. So I meet with them on a bridge, and I think we're just going to have this fun pike fight. And he just walks forward on a dragon and eats me. And I'm like, well, that's rude. And then I go back there, my stuff is gone, you know, but they left my ride, luckily, so I just kind of flew back on that, but I lost the stuff that was on my body, and I was like, well, that's f***ed up, and so I ended up talking to the tribe that raided me that I befriended, and I was talking to them, and they're like, oh man, that's like that tribe is shit. Like they do that to people all the time. And they're like, you know what? We're going to raid them this weekend. You want to be a part of it? And I'm like, hell yeah, what do you need? So I made them like
back to drug dealing,
like 5,000 Yeah. Like they wanted metal arrows because metal arrows are good against Gigas or whatever. So they asked me for like 5,000 metal arrows. I was like, I got you. I got them to them. And then I started talking to that tribe and they're like, yeah, man, we were just messing with you. You know, we'll give you your stuff back. You know, we were just playing around. And I was like, okay, I got my stuff back. And then they're like, oh, by the way, they're like, we'd like to help you out and stuff. Do you need like a tech replicator and stuff? And I'm like, yeah, I would love one. So they're like, cool, let's set up a trade. So I traded them just like a few thousand rifle bullets and they gave me a tech replicator. So I'm like, I'm trading with them, getting a tech rep. I'm also giving their enemy like 5,000 arrows to go raid them this weekend and screwing them over.
Yeah.
And I just love it. And the whole time, Zeb and I, who's the other person in our tribe, we're like texting each other what we're doing back and forth. And we're just sending like Sons of Anarchy gifts back and forth. It's like ridiculous.
I was about to say, we've all seen that really bad Star Wars episode 8 where it's like the rich people are getting rich on both sides of the war.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. We're just making alliances left and right. And
keep going.
These tribes have like no idea that I'm friends with them and them over, but I'm also friends with them and just having
but that's
blast.
That's part of the game.
Oh, it's fun. It's the politics.
I just hope that like out of nowhere we go from being like a lowly tribe to just because of what's happened, everybody's killed everybody, and we just rise to the top because
it's great. See, what's going to happen is I don't play enough, and I'm going to log back in one day, and Steven's dinosaurs are going to be like wearing like pimp robes and just be all flashy and colorful. He's going to have like some kind of cartel kind of
exactly.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
There was one problem tribe, which was like mostly kids, like 11 and 12 year old kids, and they were just wreaking havoc on the server, being total ass. I got them banned. Everybody loves me.
He's like the godfather. He's low key godfather.
We really need to, I mean, we haven't done it in a while, but us three need to play prop hunt. I really want him.
I hear good things.
Dude, I busted a gut every time I play with this dude.
how much is it? Is it a free game? Like,
no, it's on the new Call of Duty game, so you have to buy it. It's been out for a while, so you could probably get it fairly cheap now.
I'll have to get it.
Dude, prop hunt is so much fun.
I think the time I was dying the most is when we were playing that map, and you're like, you know, you can turn into a chicken? And I was like, what, no? And luckily, you were able to turn into one. And Steven literally hid in plain sight as a chicken.
Yeah, I put myself right next to another chicken that was like part of the map. So yeah. It just looked like two chickens next to each other. And everybody kept running by.
I'm still wishing I could see from your point of view what you saw when I was in that cone.
Oh, I was exactly where I was going. Exactly where I was going with this. I was cracking up laughing for like 10 hours because Wes was like, hey, can you see me from where you're at? And I'm like, no, what are you? And he was like, oh, I'll show you. He's like, just look directly forward from where you're looking. And I'm like, okay. So I kind of like angle up the camera a little bit, you know, from where my chicken is pointing.
Yeah.
And I just hear, eh. and with that, it was a little traffic cone popping up from behind a box. It popped back down. And it bounced. And I lost my shit.
I was going for that Roger that.
So perfect.
So for perfect. Listeners that don't know what prop hunt is, it's basically a glorified game of hide and go seek with guns.
So I like it. I like it.
Yeah, so the one team is all loaded out with guns, and the other team, you can disguise yourself as different items throughout the map. And it's basically the people with guns running around shooting literally everything in sight, trying to figure out where the people are hiding.
That's awesome.
There's nothing better than just watching like three people with submachine guns chasing a vending machine. It's so great.
Whoever thought of that is like...
Well, Prop Hunt came out years... Like,
it was its own video game,
it came
wasn't
out
it?
Years ago. Yeah.
And then Call of Duty just kind of like
Call
adopted
of Duty kind
the
of adapted
idea.
It.
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
The original Prop Hunt is ridiculous because there's no... I don't believe there's a limit on how many things you can turn into. Like, so you can just keep changing into things.
Oh,
and
okay.
Some people would like, and like, the thing is you have to go up to it and then mirror it and then you can turn into it. So it wasn't like you'd flip through it.
Yeah. The Call of Duty one, you basically get three. Like there's what you start as, which is just random. And then if you change it, you're something else.
So do you try to kill people or is it like,
no, you have to hide, you have to survive.
It's like team on team. The one team is a bunch of props that are going around. They have like 30, I think it's 30 seconds to go around and hide.
Mm-hmm.
And then then the other team gets cut loose to go hunt them down and shoot them.
That's way cool.
And it's great. Cause like they'll come up on, like you'll see somebody looking at a box.
So sketchy.
Like, man, that box is sus. I don't think that box is usually here in this map. And then all of a sudden the box takes off. They're chasing it around trying to shoot it.
Does it hop or does it like...
No, it just kind of slides.
I jump.
Oh, no, they can't jump.
I jump around here.
Right, I'm like, ah! Yeah, because you're traffic code.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I think actually the bigger the object you are, though, the more hits you can take, which makes sense because...
That would make sense.
But it was funny. Like, I felt so stupid on that map that we were just describing because when we were the guns, I went out there and I'm like, I don't remember there being so many tables of cocaine. Because you can also, like, lay duplicates.
As decoys.
As decoys. Oh.
Like, decoy yourself.
It only lets you do it a couple times, but I'm sitting there, I'm like, there's, like, 5 tables of cocaine. What's happening? So I'm like, they're in here somewhere. just lit up the whole everything. Row. And all of a sudden, this entire table whoosh, just rushes out of the freaking shed. And I'm like, oh, here he goes. It's a fun game. It's great.
I need to play this game.
I couldn't believe one round that I won. I started out as something. I didn't like it, so I changed it. It was something else I didn't like again. I changed it, and I ended up being like the biggest object you could be at the mall. I don't even remember what it was. I think it was like a vending machine or something like that. It was huge. And I'm like, great. Now I'm stuck with this because it's the last one you can pick. Yeah. So I just went outside, and I just kind of put the vending machine like behind a car. It was taller than the car.
And no one noticed.
And nobody noticed. I was like, this is literally taller than the car. Like, you can see me hiding behind this car.
Yeah, it's like us hiding like this.
Yeah. It's like that cartoon character that hides behind like a street sign and suddenly disappears or something. Because people were running back and forth and then like the last 20 seconds they're shooting random.
It's because it was too obvious.
Yeah, that's, apparently. That's
like sometimes, normal hide and seek, you hide in plain sight and people just, there's no way that's somebody.
Idiots.
Dumbs.
You'll hear when I get nervous though. Like, I mean, it's cracked him up a couple times when I'm like hiding next to something and someone's like, I can like slowly checking out the area and then they stare at me for a moment and I'm like, I start, even though it's just a game, but I still get anxiety playing it.
Oh man, it amps you up.
It's awesome.
And it's just, you're in that moment, you're thinking, do I run or do I wait it out? Because if I run, then everyone's going to be on me shooting at me. But if I just wait, maybe he'll just leave.
I still think
it goes either way.
One of the most genius plays I ever saw. I think it was you that did it, if I remember right. If not, we were playing together. Somebody else did. I think you did it. But basically, like, it's a hotel and there's like the reception desk. And if it was you, I think it was you. Whoever was a phone booth.
Oh, yep.
And it was you, right? Genius. And no, what he did, if I remember right, he went to one side of the reception desk and made a decoy and then went to the other side and then sat right there. So it looked so perfect.
It looked like it was designed
to. Yeah, just two phone booths, one on either side of the reception desk. It looked so natural. And won the round. Nobody noticed.
Yeah, there's plenty of people just running through the room and I'm like, all right. I'm just chill here. It feels good when you do stuff like that because you feel superior.
Yeah. Anything it takes to be validated.
I think we found a cheat on one of them, the boat, where you can go into the water.
Yeah,
that was pretty bad. If you're a plank, you can just lay flat so no one sees you.
Yep.
You're just like, all right. Cheap stuff. But anyway, yeah, we got to play again. That's fun.
Indeed. Yeah. I haven't even been on Cold War at all in probably 2 or 3 months.
It's been a minute for me, too. I mean, I've been prepping stuff. I mean, I'll just segue into what I've been doing. Just film prep. We've been talking about this on the podcast for
a while. Oh, yeah.
Getting closer to getting started, so that's good. Locked in a lot more stuff. So let's dive into the good stuff.
Ooh.
A lot of stuff came out. This week, and I want to talk about this dumpster fire of a movie called Kong vs. Godzilla.
Oh, the worst God, thing ever.
So good.
Did you get to watch it?
I did.
Oh, okay. Awesome. I talked to Steven a little bit about it on Friday. What did you think?
Let's start with this. Number out of 10. Go.
For what it is,
yeah.
I'm going to give it a 10. For what it is.
What?
Like, well, hear God, me out. Hear me out. Well, are you asking me, like, in general
as a movie?
As a movie just or,
as
like,
a movie.
Going into it knowing what it is?
Just as a movie.
Just as a movie.
As a movie. As a piece. I'd give it a 6 if it going at just a movie, because when you look at like the lack of story and the random shit that's there, but when you go into it knowing that all it is a bunch of big ass things fighting a bunch of big ass things and Kong's going to scratch his ass as he's walking away, it's a beautiful moment. Oh,
well,
yeah.
We'll delve into the details in a second.
Yeah.
So you give it a 6.
Actually, I was giving it a 6 too.
Really? I was expecting you both to be like, a 2. It's a,
no, because
I mean, it was still good.
There I hate still, things that are fun and exciting.
The story it's
fun. There's that like I mean
I give it like an 8.5.
Like there's a lot of I'm not going to dive into the nitty-gritty of it all, but just like there's a lot of things. Like, it definitely just felt like they, like, I felt like they didn't really care. They didn't care too much about the character development in the last one. And this one, it just feels like they gave up completely. So it really just felt like, why do I, like, I would rather a 45 to 50 minute of this movie with zero story of them just beating the living hell out of each other than what we got. I could care less of all the human elements. Like, no one cares.
Yeah, and they could work on that. I mean, by of all of the films, like, obviously Skull Island had the most compelling, if you will,
yeah, characters. Yeah, Skull Island was actually really
they good. They had really fun characters to watch, and that's what they need to incorporate in all the movies. Because I disagree when people say that we just need an hour and a half, 2 hours of monster mashing. I don't care. Remove the human element entirely. I just want to see
kaiju. I mean, you need something.
You have to have some human element, because by contrast, it makes the kaiju fight more spectacular.
But when it's done that bad, it's...
But I agree with you.
Everybody was throwaway.
Godzilla vs. Kong was bad with the human side of things. But the kaiju mashing was so great that I was not upset about it. I loved it.
I would say the only biggest hang-up I have that I really wish they could just explain. Spoilers, if you haven't seen the movie, you're going to dive into it. How in the hell did they manage to capture him? Just at the beginning. It's like, oh, we have him.
They trank him and he's magically on a boat.
I'm like, what? Hold up.
It's that easy. Well, I'll see what the problem is.
Yeah.
You get an Ascendant long neck rifle. You load it with trank darts.
You pokeball him.
I'm going to tell you right now, the first fight...
You trap him, you trank him.
The first fight is not fair at all, because a giant gorilla... Gorillas, first of all, I don't really think can swim, let alone a giant gorilla. You make that first round on even ground first, just to see, but like,
my I felt issue,
like that first fight was cheap.
My issue was that when you see Godzilla in the cities, he is way bigger than when he's fighting Kong, or they make Kong bigger, because like, to me, it's like the size of Kong.
Well, Kong was smaller in Skull Island.
Right, because he's grown since then. He was still growing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was addressed.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your problem?
No. The problem is when you see him at the beginning of the movie, and then defensive. You see him on the boat, but then you see like how big Godzilla is when Kong isn't a part of it. It's like, to me, it seemed like Godzilla should have been like almost twice as tall.
I can see that, because the little ships they were in felt like they were bigger in the center of the Earth.
Uh-huh.
And Kong felt smaller. I mean, granted, that world is big, so Kong feeling that size makes sense, but the ships still felt like they were a little too big.
Yeah.
Versus when they flew out in China, I'm like, oh, they're back to being small.
Like, when you look at Kong, when he grabs like a human, or when he's next to a human, it's just him and somebody, and how big a human is to his hand, and then you see how big Godzilla is, and then you have, all of a sudden, now they're the same size. And to me, it just doesn't... It was like,
I didn't have that hang up, but I can see what you're saying.
I didn't either. I was like, that monkey big, that lizard big.
Yeah,
I'm good.
In original lore, because you're heavy into this crap
ish.
Is Mecha its own AI, or is it being controlled?
Oh, geez, that's a tough question. Because there's several iterations.
This one kind of tried both.
Yeah, there's several iterations of Mechagodzilla, and they all kind of have different things going on. And it's off the top of my head, I can't remember which is which, honestly. But there's a Mechagodzilla that's made by the aliens from I think it's from Planet X or something like that.
Mm.
But there's one that's made by aliens. There's one that's made by humans. There's one that's good. There's one that's bad. It's hard to say. It depends on which movie you're watching.
And then the human element, it's supposed to be a nuclear deterrent, which does not work.
No.
When we're done, you need to watch the honest trailers for this movie.
For Godzilla Kong, I'll watch it.
It made me giggle. I was like,
but no, I think
one of the lines that made me laugh the most was like, and then they throw in a third monster to bring it all together, Mechagodzilla, controlled by humans to destroy. Wait, all right, he's still destroying Godzilla anyway. To destroy Godzilla, because it shows that guy getting shorted out.
Yes.
I was just like, yeah, they kind of just nixed that, didn't they? Just like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. I thought it would have been cooler if they did let him stay in control. I mean,
I think the whole idea is that it's wasn't necessarily humans controlling it, wasn't necessarily AI controlling it. It was kind of like, from what my interpretation was,
mm-hmm.
was that Ghidorah possessed it.
No, it's absolutely what it was.
That's Ghidorah's mind.
They amped the power and they...
Yeah, like all the power was kind of coming out of Ghidorah's head, so it's almost like
Ghidorah because they put the skull inside of it, yeah.
Interesting. Bit. So it's kind of like Ghidorah was fighting through a Mechagodzilla.
If I remember correctly, though, the end credits, like, Ghidorah was still... He wasn't moving, was he? At the end of King of the Monsters, when they captured his head?
No, they just had the head.
They just had the head. Okay.
Which was, a lot of people thought that was leading up to Mecha King Ghidorah. Because right. Mecha King Ghidorah is a big deal in the movies too. But they just kind of went that route. Which, right. I mean, they still could be building
that could. If they wanted to. I mean, the skull's still there.
Yeah.
So.
I also didn't realize, somebody pointed out that of the three Ghidorah heads in King of the Monsters, that's the stupid one. That's great. I don't really know how they pointed that, how they narrowed that down, but it's pretty poetic if you think about it. Like, it's the stupid head of Ghidorah
that gets to do
that
it.
Gets to take over Mechagodzilla and do all this crazy cool stuff.
Nice.
I liked it. But yeah, I found a lot of the people on Facebook that didn't like it. You know, one of them is a really good friend of mine that's a huge, massive Godzilla fan, far more than I am. And he really didn't like it because of how crazy fantastical it got. With like the hollow earth thing towards the middle.
He felt like it was
Journey to the Center of the Earth.
He was like, that it lost me at that point. They jumped the shark. This is too much. And I am 100% opposite. Like, that was my favorite part of the movie. Well, I love how fantastical it went.
They already addressed it though. Like, cause in King of the Monsters, that one dude that was on the team even talked about hollow earth.
Yeah. As they were dropping bombs.
So I'm like, yeah, they were setting it up.
It was a big part of the story in the second one. Yeah.
So I was like,
and I loved it. You know, he was complaining. He was like, well, the first one was really grounded. And then the second one was, you know, kind of grounded.
First one was grounded in the sense that Godzilla was barely in it.
Yeah. Right. I'm like, well, at the end of the day, it can be as grounded as it wants. It's still a giant monster movie, you know? And I'm like, in movies in general, I'm not going to the theater to watch to be grounded. No. I'm going to the theater to experience something fantastical, completely out of the realm of reality. And that was so, so fun watching him do this whole Hollow Earth trip and going back in the gravity things. That shot, the shot that sticks in my head the most out of the entire movie was that really wide shot of Kong like leaping off the cliff and kind of being pulled into the
ground. That was so dope. Flipping.
Yeah, he's kind of going through the kind of floating asteroid looking things. And I was like, this movie is insane. And I loved it. I was lost. I was just in my seat.
I need to rewatch it on a big screen like you two guys.
Oh dude, it was phenomenal. I mean, his was probably cooler because he was in actual theater, but
we should talk about that. Has not being in the movie theater for a year and a half,
was it magical?
Oh my god, has IMAX always been that f***ing loud?
Yes.
Ow. I almost had a headache by the end of the movie. It was so, like, ear-piercingly loud for the entire thing.
I wonder if it's because there's, like, less people in there, so there's, like, less sound being broken up, if that makes sense.
That could be it, too. And I was telling my wife, I was like, is this just because I haven't been to the theater in so long that, like, by comparison, I'm just used to what we have at home? I don't know, but, like, I was in pain by the end of the movie.
Ears were bleeding.
Ears were bleeding. My eyes had popped out of their sockets. But that's kind of beside the point of what I'm making.
I will say,
made a mess.
Despite my hangups, like I knew what I was walking into, which is why I enjoyed it for what I did. Granted, I enjoyed the effort they put in all the fights and stuff, but they just literally lost me with all the human stuff. I was just like, yeah.
Well, it was just a lot of it made no sense.
To me, it felt like
a throwaway.
Here's the thing, was going to happen anyway without the humans. I wouldn't say the center of the earth part because that couldn't have happened until they took Kong there. But literally everything else didn't like. Had nothing.
Yeah, like Millie Bobby Brown, is that when you say 11, is that?
Yeah.
Because I understand she's in that show. That's I haven't watched it. But I was excited to see her back and everything. But then her and the Deadpool kid and the conspiracy theorist guy, you know, I just could not get into their characters at all. Like, I had no drive to him. And the conspiracy theorist guy was trying his best to be really funny and entertaining, but it was all just so forced and cringy. I just did not like it. And I found that by the end of the movie, yeah, their characters served
zero purpose.
No purpose for themselves as far as like their own story arc or their own development, completely absent. They were 100% there just so they had some kind of mechanic to reveal the Apex storyline, what they were doing. They needed a way to slow burn reveal to what the Apex company is doing. So they used those characters to do
I'm not going to lie, I put that two and two together within the first 2 minutes.
So did everybody else.
A company called Apex is working on something. Okay, they're making the Apex Predator. Done.
Yeah.
Like, what? Mind blown.
Writing.
So anyway, that kind of disappointed me by the end. I was like, yeah, these characters had no other purpose than to slowly discover the Apex plot a little bit at a time. So we as the audience could discover the Apex plot a little bit at a time, which most of us put together by the beginning of the movie.
I would have found...
And I'm like, that's just such a waste of characters. They have to have development beyond that. Mm-hmm. And that was really
I would have found it really cool because they're like, oh, they captured Skullcrawlers. I'm like, what if they just unleashed a fleet of that crap towards Godzilla? That'd be such a cool scene.
That would be pretty cool.
I was sad.
Can we just talk about how Godzilla literally atomic breathed a hole to the center of the Earth?
Yep. It's like, huh. I really wanted to text you that Deadpool meme of, that's just lazy writing.
I just like that he does that, though, but then just doesn't go down there. He's just like, I'm going to make the hole, now you got to come up to me.
And he's just looking down in the hole like, heard you talk. And Kong's like, yeah, I am. And then he just crawls out of it. I'd like to know what that time lapse was. I mean, certainly it took Kong a few hours, right?
I would assume.
to crawl out from the center of the Earth.
No, 5 minutes, dude.
Okay. I mean, I'm not a geometry expert. I don't know.
He expanded to be as tall as the hole and then shrunk back down to be going how their sizing thing works.
I mean, I understand surface area of the Earth is a much longer distance traversed than going from the center of a sphere outwards.
Way too into this.
But I still feel like that's quite a distance. Especially when you're just climbing vertically.
Right.
Anyway, good watch.
Loved it.
Good watch.
Yeah. Loved it. Blast.
Definitely one of those lazy Sunday afternoon movies for me, like in the future. Like, I'll definitely throw it on again.
Oh, he's going to watch it 12 more times.
Yeah. I've already watched it a second time since then. I was like, oh yeah, it's on HBO Max. Me and Eric watched it again the next day. But I loved it. I loved the way they shot. Well, I use the term shot lightly, the way they composite
animated
the fight scenes, like the way one shot that still is in my head too. And I know you want to move on from this topic. It's the last thing to talk about. There was a bit where two were fighting and I don't know. It's like they were in the ship and they like flew up Kong and they had to get away from Kong before they got caught in the cross. Mm-hmm. And then they went back towards Godzilla and Godzilla
was like a
doing atomic breath. Yeah, it felt exactly like a Universal Studios ride or something. And that's the point where I was just in my seat, just kicked back. This big cheesy smile.
You know what sucks?
Just coming all over the person in front of me.
You should have got one of those, what are they called? The XD seats? They actually move.
I should have.
That would have actually been perfect for that.
I always forget that that's an option. But honestly, with the headache the sound was giving me, and those seats, I probably would have thrown up in the middle of my...
Depends on the movie, because the first time and only time I've been in those seats, the last job I worked at, they took us to see Deadpool 2. And like I saw it premiere with you guys, but then they took us again to see it that weekend, and they bought like those XD seats. And the seats even moved to weird things that I didn't think needed to be moved to. Like there's the scene at the beginning where Deadpool like kind of swipes the stuff in the kitchen. Like he's like... Clearing, like the seat goes with the movement. I'm like, that was weird.
Deadpool's really strong.
It's like, that was kind of unnecessary. So, and then like when he leans back, it leans back too. And I'm like, what the? Like, this is kind of off-putting. Like, do it only in scenes that matter with like,
they're just
like in a car or something. And you're
searching
like,
for reasons to move you.
Yeah. I feel like Kong vs. Godzilla would be a good movie for that. But like certain movie. Let's go watch The Notebook in one of those movies.
Oh, God.
No, I want to just move on to the other most exciting thing that we haven't gotten to talk about because Jeremy hasn't freaking watched it.
Right?
We're all caught up on Falcon Winter Soldier, right?
There's three episodes?
Three.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm caught up.
Zemo!
Zemo was cool.
Dude, they're doing him so good. As soon as they said Baron, I was like, yes! Yeah. Yes, Feige! That's what I'm talking about. Because in the comics, he's Baron Zemo. And they haven't addressed him as that until this show. So I was very happy.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm probably wrong. I thought he's Helmet Zemo and his father was Baron Zemo.
Depends on which one they're doing. Because, yeah, there are two. But, yeah. I mean, I assume...
I think he's credited as Helmet Zemo.
Oh, is he?
In the credits, I think. I'm not 100% sure. I could be totally wrong on this.
Oh.
And I'm known for doing that on our podcast. Just
I will make making
inaccurate things.
So Zemo is Bruce Wayne.
I mean,
had Alfred.
Has it been proven otherwise?
Yeah. Have they been in the same room together?
Let's be real. Let's be real. Real talk, Zemo is obviously Mephisto.
So I made a meme, and it was when Don Cheadle was in the first episode, and his waist kind of like scrunching, and his forehead makes an M,
yes.
And someone goes, Mephisto.
Don Cheadle Mephisto, confirmed. I love what that meme has become.
I will say this, though. As much as I'm loving the show, It's not hitting that WandaVision vibe for me because you know how I know WandaVision was better. He'd hit me up every episode going, did you watch it? This one he hasn't done that because it's
pretty straightforward.
It's flowing. It's good. There's not a lot to question.
At the end of each WandaVision episode, we would literally be messaging, we would be messaging each other paragraphs and paragraphs.
Just theories.
This one we're like, this and Magneto that and X-Men and Fantastic
what's cool,
Four.
Speaking of X-Men, that city they went to in this third episode, you know what that is, right?
Yeah, Madripoor.
Do you know what it is?
Mm-mm.
It's an X-Men, it's a mutant haven, typically. It's like a strong, not a stronghold, but like mutants.
Super villain.
Mutants typically
congregate there.
And Wolverine actually spends a ton of time there as well. So
I'm probably wrong again. I thought it was a supervillain haven.
No.
I thought it's where supervillains do their thing. In general. Like, that's why it's like a lawless city.
From what I understand, it was mutants. But you can fact check this.
To Google!
But anyway.
The Goog knows all.
we were spewing mutants during WandaVision, but freaking Falcon Winter Soldier throws us in a city that actually involves a heavy mutant storyline. That's actually the first time it's introduced is in the New Mutants comic. That is the first time Madripoor is actually introduced.
It's a new concept?
No, the New Mutants. When that comic book came out, that's the first time Madripoor was actually introduced.
Gotcha. Yeah, because it's a big... isn't it the Wolverine Enemy of State story that plays a big part? I think it's that comic. He spends a lot of time there. And from my recollection, I think the bar that they went to is Wolverine's bar.
Yeah.
Oh, he owns the bar
in Madripoor, for a limited time or something like
so,
that.
So,
does he win it or kill somebody and take it over?
I mean, I honestly don't know that. I don't know that detail. But just the fact that they're basically going... The one show we didn't expect to get mutant theories out of is the one show they threw it in front of us at. We're like, oh, okay.
I lost my cookies for a minute there when the two super soldier people, I forget their names, the two of the Flag Smasher folks were talking like outside that gate that the armed guards were standing outside the gate. And there's a sign on the gate that looks like the X-Men symbol.
Oh.
Did you see that?
Uh-uh.
Oh, I lost my mind. I was like, oh my God, it's the X-Men. And then I was like on Reddit and I'm like on other things. And I'm like, oh, why is nobody talking about this? And I finally found somebody that brought it up. And they're like, that sign is just prevalent in the UK. It means, it's like a stop sign for us. It's everywhere in the UK. And I was like, oh, I'm stupid.
That sucks.
But.
We know we're getting them.
I'm getting heavy Lethal Weapon vibes from this show. I don't know if anybody else is. It definitely feels...
As far as like the buddy cop thing.
The buddy cop thing that's going on.
I'm too old for this
Not quite. I mean,
no.
Bucky could technically...
Well, I get it, because they both have their two own ways of doing it. They both are... Yeah, I mean, like when they go different directions and all of a sudden, no, I went this way, you should
have... I will say the writing... This last episode definitely felt like that, just that action-y, like let's buddy cop it kind of thing.
It was filmed totally different.
The episode before this last one, one of my favorite lines of dialogue ever, because WandaVision, it was the what is grief but love not persevering, and the Vision standoff
about the boat.
Those two dialogue scenes are just incredible. This dialogue when Bucky is pushing Sam about the shield, and he goes, "If he was wrong about you, he was wrong about me."
Right,
and I'm like. Freak, dude.
And Sam didn't even. What bugged me is Sam's always been kind of someone that did pay attention to people, and in this show he doesn't. Like he misses all of the social cues. Like he would have been the guy that would have called Captain America on his. He would have been like to me he would have caught that. But when Sam said it, or when Winter Soldier said it, it just went right. When Bucky said it, went right over Sam's head.
This is the shortest synopsis I can find for Madripoor. Officially, the Principality of Madripoor was an island in Southeast Asia located in the southern portion of the Strait of Malacca, southwest of Singapore. Its capital and single large city was Madripoor, which was divided between wealthy high town and the impoverished crime-ridden low town. This served to represent the extreme social inequality in Madripoor, described as a place for the very rich and the very poor. Madripoor was once a haven for pirates, a tradition that had somewhat continued to present day with its lawless quality. The Principality did not allow other nations to extradite criminals. However, it was still considered one of the business capitals of the Pacific Rim. So ultimately, that's kind of what I'm reading, is that it's a place for lawlessness and villains and whatnot. And that, in turn, attracts
villains,
a lot of mutants and X-Men and stuff. So that's kind of why like everybody's there. But the whole point is that you can go there and be a villain and you don't get in trouble for anything and they won't extradite you for anything.
Right.
So that's why it's kind of a safe haven for villains, but also... like mutants and stuff, because they can't get extradited either.
Yeah.
You know, because mutants are always persecuted in the comics and shit.
Right. And I'm just going to say that after the second episode, I can't remember if it was you or someone else that said it. I definitely am on board with believing they're setting up Young Avengers, like 100% now. Because Isaiah Bradley, as soon as his like son answers the door, I'm like,
there's Patriot.
Patriot. And I'm just like... Okay, like, so Patriot's already backdoored his way into the universe now. I'd be amiss if I really believed Wanda's kids aren't coming back. I really think they are.
Oh yeah, they are. They have to.
You know, Peter Parker is still young, in my opinion. At least they'll play him as young, even though he's almost 30.
Yeah, that's fine.
So yeah, they're Hawkeye's new ward. Yep. Like they're definitely setting up the young Avengers.
God. Remind me of her name, Kate Bishop.
Kate Bishop.
So yeah, between Kate Bishop, Wiccan and Speed, and Patriot, I mean that's your core members of the Young Avengers right there, all established in Disney Plus shows recently.
I think it's
all they're missing is Hulkling,
mm-hmm.
which could probably
She-Hulk might bring that up.
That would make sense
because mm-hmm. She-Hulk is a show coming soon.
Yeah.
Did you see? We didn't get to talk because you weren't on the episode. But did you see that they're bringing back that same actor for Abomination in that show?
No, Tim Roth.
Really?
He signed on.
Yay! That's exciting.
Which is funny because he's one of the few villains that was never killed off.
Yeah.
And I love Tim Roth. He's such a good actor. He has never done wrong.
Hmm.
Ben's looking at me like he doesn't know who Tim Roth is.
Abomination.
Yeah. He played the reddish, pinkish, purple one.
Yeah. And you know every like movie ever made? He was in it. You saw Hateful Eight. He's in a lot of Tarantino movies. You've seen Pulp Fiction?
Oh, yeah.
Pumpkin, you know, Pumpkin and Honey Bunny that rob the restaurant?
Oh, yeah.
He's Pumpkin. And then Reservoir Dogs, he's the cop, the undercover cop, the one that's, like, shot at the very beginning.
Just a bunch of...
Yeah. One of the best roles. Sorry, we'll get back to this in just a second. One of the best roles. If you haven't seen it, you got to watch Four Rooms.
Four rooms.
And it takes place in a hotel and it's four stories, like four separate stories, but they're all following Tim Roth as the bellhop. So he goes to one room and then a story happens and then he goes to another room and another story happens. And each story is a different writer and director.
Oh.
Yeah. And the third and fourth story are, the third one is Robert Rodriguez and the fourth one is Tarantino. And it is so funny and Tim Roth is like, gut busting hilarious. Yeah, the third one has Antonio Banderas, somebody else. The fourth story that's Tarantino has Bruce Willis and a few other folks. Worth a watch. Four Rooms, hilarious.
Is it available anywhere that we know of, or would I have to?
I think I watched it.
Really on, dig for it.
I want to say I watched it on Netflix.
Okay,
but I could be wrong. And this
but
was
it, a while but ago. It's but it might be on one of the platforms.
Hopefully,
one of the many.
Sweet.
Why is there not, and if there is, tell me if there is, but why is there not a website where you can just punch in a movie you want to watch and it tells you what platform it's currently streaming on?
Google tells you that.
Does it? Because like the other day I was like, man, I really want to watch Encino Man. So I popped on Netflix, wasn't there. Popped on Hulu, wasn't there. Hopped on HBO Max, wasn't there. Hopped on Amazon Prime. I was like, this sucks. I want to just do a simple search and it tells me where to freaking watch Encino Man. We were talking about something else earlier. I digress.
That's either on Amazon Prime right now or it's HBO Max. It is.
Which one?
Encino Man.
No, it's not. I looked.
It was on there.
Like 2 nights ago.
It was. It was on the getting ready to leave list.
Because we were watching the basketball game. We were talking about how good Gonzaga was doing. And that led me to the Gonzaga's joke in Encino Man.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to watch Encino Man. And I couldn't find it. And I'm really mad.
It was definitely there a couple days ago. But it was definitely on the about to leave list.
Maybe I spelt it wrong.
Or, yeah, you might just be an idiot.
I might be stupid.
Oh no, let's find out.
Wes wants to talk about Falcon and Winter Soldier, and we should get back to that.
I just want to ask you.
I don't remember where we were.
Do you think they're going to do like a mini series, or even like just kind of some kind of shot in a future movie of the young Isaiah Bradley story?
I hope so,
because that would be freaking dope.
That would be fantastic. You know how how I was kind of thinking it is like with WandaVision, how was it, I think, second to last episode, maybe even the last episode, where the whole beginning was like a cold opening with Agatha and witchy things going on. I could see a cold open to Falcon and Winter Soldier like that.
Where he's fighting Winter Soldier.
It's just like the first like 4 or 5 minutes is him and all the other black super soldiers, the ones that didn't end up surviving, like him and all of them doing like a mission or something. And then, yeah, Winter Soldier comes up.
Have you ever read that story?
No. I've got a lot of the synopses, but I haven't
read it. It's called Captain America Truth. Ben, just so you understand what that is. But basically what happened was...
Ben doesn't know how to read.
As we all know, Steve is the first successful and only successful super soldier. They tried to replicate it again, but they did it on a bunch of basically minorities. And Isaiah was the only one to actually survive it, but they hit him. Because, you know, back then, racism was like
right.
a really big issue. But Steve eventually finds out, and he is pissed like when he finds out, like, not at Isaiah, just the government in general. Right. And so, but Patriot, I don't know. I believe the genes get passed on to him. Like, I think Patriot's born that way, right? Like, I don't think they give him the serum because he's a...
It's neither.
No?
I don't think it's either the serum or it's passed on. I think it might be the power broker. The same way U.S. Agent gets it, gets the powers.
Oh. I mean, with the story they're running, that might make sense, actually.
Ah, God, I don't know. I don't remember.
Do we think... So here's the thing.
With, I literally just watched a video on it like the other day,
too. With how Feige always like just makes his tweaks to the MCU versus actual comics, do you think the power broker is an actual person, or do you think it's Zemo just giving them the runaround?
I think it's a person and an organization that Zemo probably has heavy ties to and is in cahoots with, but I don't... I think it could be... a lot of people are theorizing that it's... girl.
Agent 13? Yeah. That's what I was thinking, that she was the one. She gets in that car.
Yeah, that she could be behind it somehow.
Yeah, Agent 13, because she was a...
Sharon Carter, Jesus.
I like to call her Agent 13.
Yeah, Agent 13. but I, you know, I know that
she's the one that kills Cap.
and I know they did the whole bit with like trying to explain that the new Captain America doesn't have powers, that he's just like super, super fit, you know, strong, like they did in that interview. But I think he does.
I don't believe he's U.S. Agent like yet, but he will turn into that.
Yeah, I'm thinking he either already has powers from the Power Broker, the same people that made the Flag Smashers. He already has it and he's hiding it. Or, like you said, he doesn't have it yet, and this whole story is him not feeling fulfilled as Captain America. So that'll be kind of towards the end, as he'll get desperate and go to the Power Broker and get the powers. Something of that nature. Either way,
dude, he's good at his job. Like, his whole acting, the fact that he's making people feel this way means he's doing his job.
Dude, I've never seen my wife get so worked up over something MCU related. Like, she's into it, she enjoys it. But she is like legitimately pissed anytime he's on scene. Like, I have to pause it while she vents for a bit and talk to him and then replay it.
That's
and then
resume it.
It's great. You're absolutely right. It is 100% effective what they're doing.
Oh, yeah. They're doing exactly what they're supposed to. Funny thing, he actually originally auditioned. Did you know that? To be like the OG Cap?
For Cap? Really? No, I didn't.
Oh,
I
don't, which is kind of sad because now he's playing the mimic.
Yeah.
I mean, still a cool job. I'm just saying.
Like, how about this role? He's like, "F you guys, yes, I'll take it."
Well, it's not like they had this planned way back, so it's like,
right?
No, sorry. And then like years later, you look like you could piss people off in this role. You want it?
I still remember the casting of Captain America like it was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
I remember it was close. It was almost Chris O'Donnell.
Mm-hmm.
Chris O'Donnell.
Chris O'Donnell was one of them. I remember it came down to. I remember John Krasinski was in the running for a while. Jensen Ackles. was one of them, yeah. The Supernatural guy.
Yep.
There was a few other ones. I don't remember who. Chris Pine, I think, might have been in there for a second.
That sounds right. I think you're right.
But what was interesting is that like all these news articles were pumping out like all these rumors, and they were like, we think we've narrowed it down to this 12, and then like a few weeks would go by, we've narrowed it down to this 5, a few weeks would go by. We have people with Marvel, we've narrowed it down to this 3, and then a few weeks would go by. All right, it is definitely going to be one of these two, and I don't remember who the two were, but throughout this entire thing, all of these rumors of casting, Chris Evans was never brought up. They're like, it's definitely going to be one of these two. We're like, all right, who's it going to be?
And all of a sudden, bam,
Chris Evans. We're like, what? The Flaming Torch guy? No,
that's actually exactly what I thought. I was like, I don't know how this is gonna work.
Yeah, we're like, what are you talking about?
He did a great job though.
Oh, they've always made us go, huh? Like everyone's like giving shade to the Eternals. I'm like, I gave the same shade to Guardians of the Galaxy because I didn't know what it was gonna be, because I know what those comics are, and I'm like, really? They're really scraping the bottom of the barrel here, like
Chris Pratt.
And then all of a sudden they release it, and I'm like, I need more.
Give me more.
It's good.
Immediately.
So like, I see the same shade flowing on the internet about Eternals, and that's probably because people don't know who they are, so they don't care.
I don't remember who all is in Eternals besides Angelina Jolie. Who else is in that?
I have to go back and look. Okay. But yeah, she's the biggest name I remember.
I'm gonna predict it right now. Eternals is where the X-Men start.
Think so?
In the MCU. Yep.
Hmm.
Yeah, everyone's like really thinking it's going to start with these Disney Plus series, and I mean they kind of said to begin with that the Disney Plus series would be important to the MCU and important to watch, but they're not going to like be anything hugely groundbreaking, like 100% required watches for the MCU. You know what I mean? It's like you watch the movies and you can kind of watch Disney Plus shows to kind of supplement it, but there's nothing reliant on it. And that's why I don't think something as big as the X-Men entering the universe will happen in a Disney Plus show. But it totally makes sense for it to happen in the Eternals, because the Eternals are what make mutants happen.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what that means.
Ben, get the f*** out of here.
That's why it's two nerds and a jock.
You're not even a jock.
I pretend to be.
You're just trash. It's two nerds and trash.
I pretend to be an athlete.
Garbage.
Sometimes.
Jesus Christ.
So
I haven't picked on Ben in a while. I have to get it all out.
You need to do it.
It needs to be public too, so people can join in.
Nice graphic you got there on your phone.
It's the background to my my book.
I have a coworker that has his own face as his background.
That's weird. Oh
my god.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Like it's not like a selfie with anybody. No, it's just his own portrait is his background on a selfie.
Does he work over where I work?
Yeah.
Okay, I know who it is. It makes sense.
Yeah. I'm sure you know exactly
who it is. I know it.
Trying to mouth it to each other.
Yeah. Causing dead air.
Eternals, how do they create mutants? Go.
Wes, explain it.
I know nothing about them. So, no help for you there, bud.
Oh, God. In a nutshell, in an extreme nutshell, because I have no business trying to provide this information.
I believe in you.
There's kind of different groups to the core members of kind of what humanity is when you go all the way back to like ancient Earth. So it's like there's this group of people that have these powers. There's this group of people.
I always associated with them like those Titans you saw when they showed the Infinity Stones, because they go back to that kind of age, I would believe.
But it's like there's just the regular old humans, and then there's the ones that have like the apex superpowers, the best of the best, all of them, like they're all Supermen. And then there's the groups that are kind of like kind of a mix mash of superpowers. And then one of these groups is the Eternals, and something happens, and you get kind of a mix of the humans and the mutants, but mutants weren't necessarily a thing yet, and the Eternals are what kind of make it to where in any Marvel timeline in the multiverse, there has to be, it's an absolute, that at some point in history around the same time is where mutants are to appear and start influencing the universe. Huh. So whatever Marvel multiverse you're in, mutants almost always appear in generally the same time, in the same time in history, and it's kind of the Eternals behind that, some matter of fact, I don't really know exactly how it goes, that make that happen.
Gotcha.
Okay. I'm tracking.
So, not a bad way to go with it, though. I mean, especially if they're setting things up the way they do.
Yeah.
Why not?
So I think that's what'll do it. I mean, with it being so far in the past, it kind of makes sense that they can introduce mutants in such a way, and they can also explain somehow where they've been.
Why they haven't been showing up.
Yeah. Exactly. Why they've been in hiding. Why they didn't help out in Endgame and whatnot. You know, which I think can be explained pretty easily. It can be as simple as Xavier used Cerebro, read Doctor Strange's mind and knew they couldn't interfere in this reality because he knows how the plan goes. And he's like, if we interfere,
that feels like some total
problem. I don't know. You know, it could be anything.
That's definitely some Feige writing kind of crap.
How dare you?
It's true, though. I mean, well, you always have to come up with clever reasons why, because that's the same question. Like, just like in the event, like in the single superhero movies, it's like, why don't the other heroes just show up and help?
Yeah.
They could.
Yeah, you just got to accept it, just like you do in the comics.
Yeah.
They're doing things. They're not always together.
Because if you're real, like with comics just in general, like if you're going to take it as seriously as some of the people that would complain like that, there would never be a single situation where another superhero wouldn't be involved.
Right.
Because there's so many. There's no way that a single incident can happen without the others knowing about it.
And that's going to be a challenge, because they can't just say that mutants are going to suddenly appear in the universe like they're just now starting. You know what I mean? Like, they can't say that mutants are just now starting to appear, and that's why we haven't seen them. Because then it doesn't work for like Wolverine's story. Wolverine fought in all the wars. Like, how do you get that if you say mutants are just now appearing?
It's true. And you don't have the Flash to change time.
Right. Yeah. So they're going to have to work out something in the story that says they've always been around. We just haven't known for whatever reason.
Word.
Cool. Well, we'll see what they do.
We'll see.
I'm excited. All right. Well, let's jump into the news, because we got to wrap things up really quickly. Speaking of Marvel, did you guys watch the Loki trailer that just dropped?
Yes. I did not.
What'd you think?
I enjoyed Owen Wilson. And I'm looking forward to watching the show for Owen Wilson.
Yeah.
I think I really hope that they do what we were talking about, where it's like, we're all anticipating him to say, wow. But I want it to be like that, that scene from Avengers Age of Ultron where Steve's about to say Avengers Assemble, but it cuts.
Yeah. Like, so that'll be the very last thing.
Series ends.
Credits. TVs will be broken across the nation.
I'm excited for Loki. I think with the Time Authority and everything, I think it's going to play into WandaVision a little bit. I think it'll play into a lot of things. I think it'll tie into WandaVision a lot more. I think Falcon and Winter Soldier will ultimately be pretty self-contained. I don't think it's going to acknowledge the other shows too much. No. But I do see Loki directly playing into WandaVision a little bit with the Time Authority and her being a Nexus being and everything. They're supposed to be, if you don't know, Ben, they're supposed to be the ones that like directly monitor Nexus beings specifically among other stuff as well, being the Time Authority.
Yeah.
So, with the reveal sort of in WandaVision that Wanda's a Nexus being, that should play into each other at some point.
Pashibri.
So I think it's funny how you said it, because Doctor Strange made that comment in Thor Ragnarok where he's like, I'm on it. He didn't say Nexus beings, but he's like, it's my job to monitor X beings, something like that. And Loki's one of them.
Oh, did he?
That's in Thor Ragnarok.
I remember that.
But I'm just like, someone pointed out, I was like, how come he wasn't monitoring Wanda? Just like, yeah, he knew it'd be fine. He looked in the future.
I think he is. I think he is monitoring Wanda. I think he knows what's going on, and he's going to have a reason for not interfering.
Even though we all hoped for it.
Yeah.
But it didn't happen.
We all hoped for it.
He needed her to mentally fix herself so that she could be helpful.
If he interfered, she wouldn't have overcome the problem on her own, and she wouldn't be a better person for it. So,
yeah, whatever.
I think they have the potential for probably not this current new phase, but maybe the next new phase, that Wanda is the next big bad, like Thanos level bad.
Really?
Oh, I hope she snaps.
Yeah.
Especially since she has the Darkhold.
If they go the House of M plot, like they could do, if they end up really introducing X-Men and making it a big deal, then they could do this whole next phase with a new Thanos, whoever that may be, Doom, Galactus, whatever, and fill the universe with mutants to the point that it becomes oversaturated for us, like it did in the comics.
Yeah.
And then you get into the next big thing where the next overarching issue and problem is Wanda, and the next snap level event, if you will, is the Whisper. When she whispers no more mutants, and she obliterates mutants from the Marvel Universe.
Does she kill them, or does she just make them no longer mutants?
They just don't exist.
She takes away their powers.
Okay, they become
regular humans.
But she also changed reality. Like, Peter Parker is now like a movie star, and he's not really Spider-Man, I don't believe.
Do they remember who they were?
No. She makes like this haven of a new world where everybody has exactly what they want, for the most part.
Wow.
Which is what she did for herself.
And on top of that, there's no more mutants, with the exception of like 100. There's like,
I think Wolverine's still around because he was a huge part of that story.
It goes from like a million and something mutants to like 108 or something.
Is Xavier still wheeling himself around?
Yeah, but that's like that's like a big part of the story. Like one of the big parts of the story is following the wheels in the sand, trying to find out where he went.
Wheels in the leg,
and they eventually find him, and it's like a big thing.
Did you ever? I told them this, but they haven't watched it, so screw them. Have you ever watched The Internship with Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn?
No.
Do it. I know you'd love it.
I'm not a Vince Vaughn fan.
You like him in this movie.
I liked him in Dodgeball.
I like Dodgeball.
That's a good movie.
I love Dodgeball. Basically, Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn. They're like in their 30s, 40s, and they're salesmen, but they have to go back to college to learn stuff. But instead of going to college, they just get an internship at Google, and they know jack about it. But there's like this scene, like these younger interns that are all smart, that are programmers and stuff, say, all right, like to get them out of their hair, they're like, all right, there's a professor at the other college that has some like paperwork that we left with him. You need to go pick it up. What's his name? Xavier. And they literally find this dude in a wheelchair that is named Xavier.
Fantastic.
Outstanding. It was such a great joke.
And that's where he was the whole time. That's where he was. Why he couldn't find him in House of M. That's where he was.
So MCU is now, sorry, the internship is now canon to the MCU.
But yeah, that would be a cool storyline to follow.
It's cool. It's a good setup.
Because ironically, Wolverine, you know, who always has the memory issues, he's the only one that remembers what the world was before House of M, because everybody else, reality's warped. They don't remember what the life was like, but Wolverine does. And that's why he's kind of like solo on this mission to kind of unravel
it. Oh, extra grumpy, I'm sure.
Oh, he's so cranky. Yeah.
That's what makes him.
So next bit, your new worshipped director, because of Kong versus Godzilla, has announced his next project. Buckle up, 80s kids. We're getting the Thundercats movie.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. It's going to be directed by the guy from Kong vs.
Godzilla. That's amazing, because they've talked about bringing that live action, right?
What do you mean my worship director? I don't even know who directed it. I don't know who that was.
That's awesome, though, because I mean, they've been talking about that for years. Every once in a while pops up on IMDb. It's like, oh, we're going to be making it 2017, so that 2019.
That dude will be at the helm.
That's outstanding. Exciting. That's exciting. That's going to be really fun. I actually started rewatching that like a handful of months ago on Hulu.
In a world where we can get the Cats movie, we can get the Thundercats movie.
This will actually be good, though.
And that's how 80% of the world became furries.
Please, I know you probably haven't. Please tell me you've watched Invincible.
Yeah. All of the episodes.
You haven't told me, so...
All of the episodes.
No.
Oh, what is Invincible? Any of it?
Invincible?
It's a show?
It's
a show
on Amazon. You need to watch it.
You will lose your if you watch this show. I'm just telling you.
You understand I'm a weapons kingpin right now in ARK.
I understand there are more important things.
You need to watch it. You need to watch it. The level of blood, guts, and gore in a cartoon superhero show. And they do such a good... I mean,
it's
so well written. You'll love it. It's like Tarantino meets the Justice League.
Yeah, it's like Tarantino got a hold of superheroes and he just went to town with them. It's written by the dude that wrote The Walking Dead.
Which makes sense. Like the one fight scene between...
don't spoil things.
Yeah, you need to watch it.
But I know which fight scene you're talking about. It's by far the most brutal thing I've ever seen in my life.
Wicked. It's wicked. You need to watch it. And then get back to us.
Here's the thing. Here's what's sad. Because that drops every week now. Because what Amazon does things different than Disney. Amazon goes, here's your first three.
Yep.
And then they do an episode a week.
They hook you, and then
Disney does one episode.
Right.
Drop, which is fine. But I look forward to Invincible more than I do Falcon and Winter Soldier. Because here's the thing. I could go online and look up where the story's leading. Because the story's already been told in the comics.
Right.
I don't want to, because I've never read these comic books. I'm along for this ride, and I'm loving it. It is so damn good.
It's awesome.
Oh my gosh, I wish we could talk about it, but Steven hasn't seen it, so.
I'm looking up just kind of like what it looks like, you know, and kind of images. Looks like it kind of has the same animation as like, you know, the X-Men animated series, kind of, I guess.
I would say better.
Yeah.
Certainly animated better.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, newer, obviously, but I mean, like, not necessarily anime.
Produced by Seth Rogen as well.
Yeah.
Nice.
Who also produces The Boys. Man, he's on top of it.
Him and The Rock own Hollywood right now.
Dude. Seth Rogen is... He's doing the Lord's work.
Doing the Lord's
work. F***ed up animations.
You'll love this.
I was about to say.
I'm surprised you haven't brought up Mortal Kombat yet.
Oh, we talked about it episodes ago.
Oh, yeah. That's old news, bud.
I don't listen to
these. But I'm excited. Are you excited?
Yeah. And I'm not even a Mortal Kombat fan.
I'll actually be going to theaters for that one.
And I'm super stoked.
I'm more excited for this than I probably was for Endgame. I love Mortal Kombat. You can look at me like how you want to. I love it.
And here's the thing about Mortal Kombat. Like, the original 90s movies were actually cool for what they were.
Right.
Way back then. But like, it's sad because no one seems to be able to get it right. I'm hoping... I really actually think this movie, story-wise...
That scene of Sub-Zero when he turns the blood into
a
spike and just destroys him. Like, I hope the whole movie is that.
Oh, is Ryan Reynolds reprising his role? As Baraka? Barakapool?
Barakapool. Actually, I don't believe Baraka's in it, but Melina is in it, which she is a Takargan, which is what Baraka is.
How funny would it be if Baraka made a cameo towards the end or even after credits and it was played by Ryan Reynolds?
That'd be great. Seems like something he'd do.
That'd be fantastic. Oh, he'd totally be down for it. He'd be like, oh yeah.
Speaking of Ryan Reynolds, did you see he hosted a watch party where he watched Green Lantern for the first time?
No, I haven't. That sounds hilarious, though.
He did it right before the Snyder Cut dropped.
That's awesome. I still haven't seen it, the Snyder Cut. I hear it's good.
You should watch it.
Is Ryan Reynolds in it as Green?
No.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to watch it then.
He is. No, don't. He's in the whole movie.
Don't get my hopes up. Because I'll watch it just for that and I'd be very upset.
Just text you all angry. Ah, bad.
If I watch 5 hours of movie believing Ryan Reynolds shows up at some point.
I'm going to let you know right now. Watch Invincible before you watch Snyder Cut. You will enjoy yourself way more.
Just say. I'm hearing it's good.
I didn't say Snyder Cut is bad. I'm just saying Invincible is way more interesting.
It makes way more sense. Like, there was a lot of random when you watch the original cut.
Joss's version was really sloppy because he took Snyder's stuff and
chopped it all over his
around. I don't even remember the other Justice League movie, honestly. Good.
It was like, a bunch of random.
I watched the trailer for the Snyder cut and I was like, I don't know what's different because I don't remember the movie. It was so forgettable.
Which is so sad.
I had to watch like breakdowns.
DC to find out deserves what was new. To be at Marvel's level. They just absolutely can't do it.
Can't figure their life out.
Get it right.
I mean, I will say there are issues with it.
I go into movies watching them for what they are, which is, again, why I enjoyed Kong vs. Godzilla. That's why I enjoyed the Snyder Cut, because I'm not going in there with expectations. I'm just going in there like, let's see what it is. Mm-hmm. And I tend to find I enjoy movies more if I do that versus going in there like, I expect this to be the best thing ever. Why wasn't it the best thing ever, damn it? Yeah. As soon as you walk out and you're like...
Exactly. Yeah, I'm never going into a movie expecting it to be the next best thing I've ever seen in my life.
No.
I'm going to sit down, entertain me. Entertain me for the next 2 hours, please.
Take exactly. me away.
Yeah. And then at the end of Kong vs. Godzilla, I was like, cool. I was entertained for 2 hours.
That's how I felt when we walked into Joker, because everyone was like talking it up. And I'm like, I'll just see what it is. And I walked out of that. I'm like, that was good. Like, it was great.
That was so cool. It was pretty good. The first half was slow.
You're slow.
I haven't watched it since.
I am.
But I really liked the movie. Did I tell you how it was supposed to end?
How?
No. But they cut it out?
No.
So I don't know if you remember how it ends, but ends with...
I don't.
He creates the riot in the city.
Yes.
And then that one guy goes down the alley killing Bruce's parents.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to him in the asylum and he's like laughing. He's like, I was just thinking of something funny, and to the therapist or whatever.
I do remember that.
And so what was supposed to happen is when she goes, what are you laughing about? He's like, I was just thinking of something funny. It cuts back to the alley, but it's him that kills Bruce's parents. And then he shoots Bruce Wayne. And I was like, what? I was like, I would have loved to see that ending, because that's nuts.
Is it one of those things like they did film it and changed it? Like, it's possible it could be released
possible. One day?
That'd be cool. Ooh. I watched that. Yeah. What would that, what does that state exactly? What would they be conveying?
Here's the thing. I don't know if, here's the thing, we don't know if it actually, because he's insane. So
you don't know what's real, what's not.
Yeah, he's an untrustworthy narrator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So to me, it's like, well, now there's no world with Batman, but a Joker, that's dangerous. But
that's how I would interpret it, though. I would interpret it as this is its own confined universe, its own interpretation of Joker, and that's it. That's the end of it.
Well, that's how the movie was.
There's nothing more. Yeah, there's nothing more to this. Don't expect sequels in a franchise.
Yeah.
Batman's dead. There can't be one.
That's exactly how Joker was intended. So that ending would have been totally okay with me.
Yeah. Because I'm like, yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what I'm thinking is that's an acceptable ending to that movie.
Absolutely.
With it being real and not psychoses.
Mm-hmm. What I would have really loved is it cuts 2 years later. And so instead of that therapy session taking place like a few days after that chaos scene, cuts a few years later, and he's like in there laughing and he breaks out, you know, and he skips to the end of the hall and all of a sudden Batman just like floors him.
We talked about that. We absolutely talked about that. Yeah. That'd be great.
Gotcha.
Anyway, that's why I'm not in charge of these movies.
How about the trailer for Suicide Squad?
Did you watch both? James Gunn and his beautiful mind, one, dropped the original trailer on April Fool's Day, and then literally 2 days later dropped a second one with like different footage.
Really?
Yes.
I don't know which one I watched.
Exactly. I mean, from the beautifully warped mind of James Gunn, is that what it says?
I think so.
Something like that, yeah. Dude, he just like, he let two back-to-back out. He was here you go.
I liked whatever one I watched.
I love them both.
I was really laughing when I realized Sylvester Stallone
is King Shark.
Yeah, plays the shark. I was like, what? That's bad. I went back and watched it again just to listen to his voice. That was great.
And just like, of course. Perfect. Just that, even that shot of King Shark just ripping that dude is just so good.
There's a lot of really great shots in that trailer.
Oh my God. It's going to be a good movie.
If anybody was going to get this movie, I'm glad it's him. Like,
oh, yeah.
Because they're bringing in Starro, and I mean, I know you're more heavy into Marvel than DC.
But yeah, I don't know what Starro, you know,
Starro
is.
So Ben knows who Starro is because he watched the Batman Beyond cartoon way back in the day. But Starro is also a big character in the comics. Mm-hmm. Long story short, it's an alien that gets dropped here. He can multiply a bunch of tinier ones of himself, and it'll attach your face like a face hugger would from Alien, but it controls you.
So it's so strong even that Superman for a hot minute was under
Superman. Does he wear a costume?
No, it's just
a starfish.
Is he? Oh, he's a starfish.
Yes.
What I love about this movie more than the last one is none of that cast is safe. I would say the only one that is safe is Harley Quinn,
right?
Because of Margot Robbie, maybe Idris Elba. But
I hope Pete Davidson dies in the first 5 or 10 minutes. I hate that guy.
Well, there's two shots. So that side one, there's that shot of them walking in front of the American flag, but there's also a shot of them in the rain where there's more of them, but you can't really tell who's there. Then I'm like, okay, clearly that's a shot before where they all die.
Right.
They're just offing people.
They're just going to straight Deadpool them and kill them off in the first a task force. Just get them all killed right away.
That would be great. I want Pete Davidson to just die in some stupid gruesome, gory
way. Gruesome, I know for nonsense. A fact actually John Cena will die because Peacemaker gets his own HBO show, so
yeah,
he'll be fine.
I'm fine with that. I like John Cena, he's funny.
He's definitely evolved as an actor.
Saw the Blockers, I loved it. He was funny in that.
I really hope King Shark is safe because I love King Shark just in general. He's a great character. Actually, he was in that movie we watched way back before the first Suicide Squad. It's called Batman Assault on Arkham, but it was a Suicide Squad movie.
Yeah,
I remember. That's how you make
me watch that. Yeah,
that's how you. But yeah, you enjoyed it.
I did enjoy it.
In my opinion, that's how you make the movie right. Is if the bad guy is a superhero versus, some alien or what they did with the first one with Will Smith. It's one of them turned out to be the big bad. I'm like, eh. Like, if you make, an impossible task, them fighting Superman, that makes for a brutal movie.
That would be cool. That'd be fun.
Which is actually the...
Snapping them in half.
Which is actually the plot of the new video game that's coming out, Suicide Squad.
Really?
It's called Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League.
Dope.
So you play as the squad having to fight the Justice League, and I'm like, that's so awesome.
That'd be fun. I'd play that.
Before you leave, I'll show you the trailer. It's freaking funny, dude.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Anyway, last bit of news. I'm sorry. It's kind of on a downer, but it's important. I want to give them the shout out.
Yep.
I have to pull up the name real quick. Luckily, I have it saved. So we did lose a actor.
No. Oh, I read about this.
And it was Jessica Walters, known for her, more recently Arrested Development and Archer.
Oh, I thought never mind, I had something else in my head.
She passed away at the age of 80. So, it's the woman that voiced Archer's mom.
Oh,
sad.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Me. She just passed away, and I'm like, oh, man. I liked her. She's a good actor.
Oh, she was wonderful.
She's always super entertaining.
Mm-hmm. Who were you thinking about?
From my understanding, also sad news, a local fella that I did not have the pleasure of meeting passed away.
Here?
Somebody that you guys worked with.
What?
He was in Z-Rex, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Big, buff gentleman.
Andy Hammond, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry?
Andy Hammond, yep.
That sounds right, yeah. I didn't catch his name. I had the pleasure of meeting him before.
He was awesome, super over the top, obnoxious, it was fun.
Behaved like he looked.
Yeah. No, he was
very
rad.
Very energetic.
He was a rad dude.
Yeah, looking at all the pictures of him, I was very sad I didn't get a chance to meet him because he looked like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
He looked like a fun guy.
Yeah. Everything was obnoxious, and it was like he was always on a stage in front of people. It was awesome.
Yeah, I was very envious of all the, because I saw all the pictures you guys were with him, and it looked like you were having a good time, and I was like, I wish I got to meet him.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I didn't really, I think the only time I met him was at the premiere. I never actually got to work with him, but yeah, he was...
He choke slammed me 43 times.
Awesome.
<Yeah. laughs>
But any hoodles... That's it for my news, ladies and gentlemen. Unless you guys have anything on the table that you heard of recently.
No, you kind of hit all of them.
Yeah. Nope. I will say Jansen Ackles, actually. One last thing, I guess. They just dropped a trailer for a new animated Batman movie because they're releasing the very famous comic book, The Long Halloween, into a two-parter movie. And Jansen Ackles is voicing Batman.
That'd be cool. I like him.
in the trailer, his voice, it sounded legit. I was like, huh, he makes a good Batman. So look forward to that. I don't know what's dropping though. Yeah. Solid.
Nice.
All right. Well, if you two people are just going to keep staring at me, I guess we'll send us off. Normally Jeremy sends us off,
but Steven beat us up. I'll give it
to Jessica Walters for all her awesome performances.
Deal. I like it. We can do that.
Thank you, Miss Walters. Why did that have to turn into something weird?
That's been our whole thing.
I can't help it.
He's a weird guy.
It's my nature.
Look at him.
It's my nature to make nice sentimental moments and just
ruin them. I'm thinking. Before we end this, let's make bets. Our best guesses. How many edits are you gonna have to do?
Or how many like bleeps?
Yeah, specifically? Bleeps.
I feel like I was fairly.
Behaved. I'm gonna go 59.
No, I behaved myself tonight.
Let's play some bets that I'm not actually gonna count how many times I have to do it. But I will say it exponentially grows every time Steve.
Absolutely,
is on freaking podcast.
I was very conscious of my.
There was like 18 F-bombs. No, and that doesn't even include the other things.
I said stuff at one point instead of. And I was and very just proud undid of myself. That. I was very proud of myself. You have to bleep.
I do.
me.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks Steven, for having me back.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, you can see why we don't bring him out here. It's just more
once
work.
Once a year. Well, for you. I don't edit.
This is what, my third appearance?
I'd say fourth.
Yeah, something like that.
I'd like to come back more often.
Well... we'll call you.
Are you on a sold no?
We'll call you. You don't need to call us. We'll call you.
Okay. Call your people. I'm excited to come back in July
of next year.
If I'm lucky.
Of next year?
Yeah.
22?
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Actually, before we end, I have one fun question for you.
Oh, gosh.
That I heard that I just wanted to ask. Especially now Steven's here. I think it'd be great. I want to see his answer. If you could. Remake any movie. I'm talking like anything like Reservoir Dogs.
Oh God.
Anything like that. And you have all the money in the world from a studio.
Oh, I've.
But the entire cast has to be the Muppets.
Oh.
What movie? That's a game changer.
Oh man, I had an idea in mind, but that kind of went out the window. Indiana Jones.
Okay.
That's okay. Cool. Who's Indy? Is it Kermit? Are you going with Kermit as Indy?
Well, now I am. I was thinking in my head about someone. Yeah, no, yeah. There you go. You got it. And the girl, sweet. You know,
her. Miss Piggy.
Miss Piggy. You know, actually, now I kind of want to do Temple of Doom.
Oh, you got to do it because the blood scene.
Yeah. You have to. Rip a heart out of a puppet, and it's a hand. Oh, it'd be great.
That's awesome. The hand comes out. It's just the felt ripped.
Who plays the little Asian boy?
It's your movie. You tell me.
Yeah. That's pretty much all the Muppets that I know, so that's where I'm out.
Yeah, I'm kind of stuck. Too. I almost said
there's the bear. There's that weird blue one with like the... I don't even know what
the trunk. Gonzo!
Gonzo, yeah.
Gonzo. I don't think he can be a little Asian boy.
Why not?
But yeah, I almost said Bert, and I was like, wait, that's Sesame Street.
We'll allow it.
Oh, God. You know what's bad is I just watched Muppet Treasure Island the other day. So this should be fresh in my head.
I was actually expecting Django Unchained from your mouth or something like that.
Like, I'm trying to think of, like, the most...
I want to do a classic.
I'm legitimately trying to think of the most movie that is out there to do this.
Saw.
John Wick.
Stuffing. Stuffing everywhere.
Jeez, that would be great. No, yeah, I'd want to do a classic. I want to put a Muppet spin on a classic. I think that'd be fun.
I like it.
It's just the bouldering.
Aliens. I'm going to do aliens.
Aliens. Who's Ridley?
It'd have to be Miss Piggy, right?
I mean, here's the thing with Muppet movies. There's always a live-action person mixed in. So you can still have like one or two live-action people mixed in with
I want some random person that has no purpose to be the one real.
Get Dopinder.
That's what's so great about Tim Curry. Like, his role in Muppet Treasure Island, like, he's the human role, right? Yeah. And he's Tim Curry, so he's amazing. He has no business being delivering that performance in a Muppets movie. It's incredible. I'm John Silver.
Can't think of it?
Great film.
What?
You can't think of one?
I'm going to go with Aliens.
Well, like, who's your cast?
Oh.
Okay, so you're doing Miss Piggy as Ridley, I guess, is what you said. So who are the other crew members? What other Muppets do you want to see running around?
I'm trying to think of... I'm back to the whole trying to figure out the Muppets.
Like I said, there's the bear. Yeah. Is that Fonzie? No. Fuzzy? Whatever his name is.
I would make Kermit the alien, just for fun.
Fuzzy Wuzzy? I don't know, something like that.
Yeah.
He has the man...
There's the chef. Shit. Little chef dude. Oh, there's Meep. The
Meep. Oh yeah, Beaker.
Okay, so he would have to be the alien because that would be fun.
Beaker.
Yeah. Why not?
What if like
they just look up a flashlight? He's
like, that's huge in the bed. Well, what if like the huge Muppet, the huge hairy guy.
Oh, they like the elephant, like yeah. The mammoth.
Yeah.
No. It's like he's a
no wait.
He almost looks like a Wookiee.
He's just a shape.
That's right.
Yeah, he's just like a big hairy guy. So he's the alien, and when he opens his mouth, Beaker comes out as the little alien tongue thing.
Oh, I love it. Maybe.
It'd be perfect.
Nice. All right.
Yeah. See you next week.
Now we'll officially send this off. So.
You're such a stupid.
Sorry.
Waka waka. All right. So we started with a sea shanty. Do we go ahead and end it with a sea shanty as well?
All right. Thank you all for listening so much. You can catch us all on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever you get your podcasts. Stay safe and have a great week.
Peace!
This has been Two Nerds and a Jock. Tune in next week for more nerdy content.